Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello and welcome to Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Ben Ayton, Katie Kirkley and Joe Thomas. And we are here to discuss Watford's 2-1 away victory at Hull City, which was actually Watford's first away win at Hull since 2013 when Troy Deeney got that goal and when we was fighting for promotion. Joe was there that day. He's spoken about that fondly in the group WhatsApp group lately, but we're going to be discussing the victory yesterday. It was Watford picking up another 3 points. It's 6 points in 5 days for Watford. So it's great momentum as well. And I don't think many people was maybe expecting us to collect all 3 points away at Hull. They was on top form. They got into the playoffs position. They were sixth. They just beat Rotherham midweek as well, and a big victory as well. And I think they've won 4 out of the last 6 games. So it was going to be a tough game at Hull, but the boys rolled up their sleeves and delivered yesterday, and we're going to talk about that now. Firstly, I'll come to Katie first. Katie, you went to Hull yesterday, freezing cold, I can imagine. How are you and how was your trip?
Yeah, no, I'm good. The trip was a disaster, but the win made it worth it. And overall, like, once we were there, it was fine, just the trains being trains with all the strikes. But no, apart from that, it was really good, and I had a very enjoyable day.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for bringing us with you as well. If you haven't seen it already, Katie did a matchday vlog. It's the Voices of Vic first matchday vlog of the season. So we're looking to do more of these. So Katie put together a quick, like, 3-minute video of her day. Took you from Leicester all the way up to Hull and then back again. So yeah, really good. If you haven't seen it already, have a look on our YouTube channel and give it a watch. It's well worth it. And Joe, how are you doing, mate? You didn't really get to watch much of a game yesterday, but you've seen all the highlights and that and heard us all chatting about it as well. You must be buzzing after yesterday's result as well.
Yeah, it's a great win, isn't it? Like you say, first win there for 10 years. I don't think anyone expected us to pick up 3 points yesterday, but obviously what a week. Just what we needed after that Leicester game last week. So yeah, fantastic return and looking to kick on now.
Yeah, what I've really liked about these two performances as well, Katie, is it's the manner of the victories for Watford as well. There's two big moments, really, in both games. Watford being 2-0 down to come from behind to win 3-2, and then being 1-1 at Hull, saving a penalty and going on to win the game. Just showing how great the character and team spirit is at the moment in the club.
Yeah, it's really noticeable, especially in the last two games, how the players just don't give up, you know. And even in the second half, you feel it coming. Like, it wasn't like we were hanging on or like we were, you know, Hull were going to grab it at the end. I was thinking, like, we could actually get this. We could snatch this. And it's just really good to see all the players. They never, ever give up. They're always pushing for that last one. You know, it's easy to sit back and defend for a draw, because, you know, draw at Hull is great, but that, you know, they keep going and get the win. And, you know, the same with Norwich.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I saw Norwich, they picked up a last minute goal today as well to win, to keep Wagner in his job a little bit longer. But we'll jump into the game now at Hull City, and we'll start where we normally do, and it's the team news. So the Hornets were actually unchanged from a 3-2 victory at home to Norwich City. And it was surprising that he went unchanged, because I don't think he's done it already this season. But also surprising as well because of the goalkeeper as well. He obviously stuck with Ben Hamer. Daniel Batman did his suspension and he was due to return. But no, Val stuck with Ben Hamer. That's big call from Val.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, we all do our... we all do our team prediction, don't we, before? And we all obviously went with Batman being obvious because he's captain. But it was very... Showed a lot of balls yesterday, Ishmael, to do that. And I'm glad he did, to be honest, because for Batman to come in and act the way he did last week, if he'd have walked back into the side, it would have been a little bit unjust, I think, for Ben Hamer, because I thought he did very well against Rotherham. It was a shame, obviously, you expected with Batman being fit to come back in, he did. But Hamer again did well on Tuesday. So, yeah, quite right for me to keep his place. And obviously, you know, he made some good saves again yesterday. So it's going to be hard now for me, I think, for Batman to get back in this side. If it's going to take a bit of a calamitous performance from Hamer for Batman to walk back into this team, I think. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, no, I just think, especially with Ben Hamer as well, given the opportunity to go out there and show what he can do again, by him putting in a really good performance, strong performance in goal and saving a penalty, Daniel Batman's got to work extremely hard to get back into this team now. What do you reckon, Katie?
No, I completely agree with Joe. I think he has a lot to prove, Hamer, and I feel like he does do that a lot on the pitch, but you see him in the games, he's just a lot more composed than Backman. Like, Backman, I don't know, sometimes in games he just seems a bit, like, not focused. You know, he comes out of his goal a lot, he's sort of not always just focused. And I think Hamer doesn't do that. And it's really interesting to see what he does for different things. Like, there were so many moments where I thought Backman would have not saved that. Backman wouldn't have done that. And, you know, even when he saved the penalty, everyone was trying to, like hug him or whatever. But he's going, no, look, there's a corner. Like, focus, we can celebrate when the game's over. And even in one of his, like, post-match interviews, he was saying, like, oh, who was trying to tell me about, wow, what a goal. And I was going, don't get comfortable now. Like, there's still 10 minutes left of the game. Or it was something like that. And I just think that shows distinct change in their attitudes, and I just feel like it just works. It looks better. The team looked more confident, especially in defence, when he's there. And I do think if Batman had walked into that team yesterday, it wouldn't have sent a good message towards Hamer, because I don't think he would have deserved to be dropped.
Yeah, no, I feel like he just gives a calming presence as well, and it probably helps out with our back line, doesn't it, Joe? Especially when you've maybe got Daniel Batman behind, who's very hot-headed and rash in his decision-making at times. But Ben Hamer just seems quite calm and collective, doesn't he? And I think you need that figure behind you when you're a central defender.
Yeah, he does. I completely agree. I think there just seems to be a bit more of a togetherness with him in that starting 11 as well. I mean, I don't know what it is with Dan Backman, but like Katie said, with Hamer, he just seems he's a lot more composed. You can see that. You can see the team. I don't know. There is just something there that just feels a bit more right with him there. And like I say, I'm glad he played yesterday, and it quite right as well. Good penalty save, and yeah.
No, definitely. And thank you, everyone, for watching tonight. We've got a few comments in already. Alan Lathwell is back again for this evening. So, hi, Alan. Hope you're well. He says, evening all. Delighted with the result yesterday. The team is benefiting from a stability at the club right now. Val is finally getting his ideas across and getting closer to knowing his best team. And that's it, Katie, isn't it? Like, unchanged team. I think this is it. I think he's finally cracked it, as in he knows what his best starting 11 is.
Yeah, I would say this is the team here. This is the team that should play every week. And even with the subs that he makes, it's not subs for the sake of subs. Each sub actually has a role to play. And when they come on, they are bringing something and adding something to the team. And yes, some games, there are different situations that you have to assess. Like, you know, if you are 3-0 down or if you're winning, there are ways that you will tactically look at it. But I think with Ince coming on and... even when Pollock came on, he did what he needed to do. And I feel like it just shows how every player, regardless if they're in the starting 11 or they're on the bench, have a role to play when they come on, and they know what their role is.
Mm. Oh, definitely. Jeff says Hamer has to stay in goal as well. Alan also says it's not that Backman lacks focus. The problem with this is too emotional. Hamer is much more calm of character and radiates throughout the team. I can't agree with any of that. And Katie, you're spot on there. I think the substitutes, they know their role at the moment as well. They know they've come on and they've got a job to do, and they do it very well. And we'll talk about the substitutions later on, because I thought that first double substitution was massive for Watford, and it was a bit like, oh, I'm not too sure he's going for those subs, but it works a treat. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but let's dive straight into it. And it didn't take Watford too long to actually get the lead at Hull, and it was Mike predicted it, didn't he, in the WhatsApp group. He said Ado Kiembe was going to score. So Mike's currently in New York with his missus. So hope you're having a great time, Mike. But he put in the WhatsApp group that Kiembe was going to score, and he got it absolutely spot on. And he was delighted. As soon as he scored, he was like, I told you. And it was the young man Kiembe who picked up the goal. And it was fantastic work down at left-hand side, Joe, wasn't it, with the link-up between Semra and Lewis. And we saw this last week Tuesday against Norwich. They're linking up really well, Semra and Lewis, now, and I think it's only going to get better. And Lewis pulled back the ball to the penalty spot, and there Kiembe was, sorted his feet out a little bit, and then just put it through the goalkeeper, and it was in the back of the net. But are you excited with what you're seeing down that left hand side? Because if I'm honest, I think that's probably Watford's strongest side at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, they seem to be growing as the as each game's going on. I think I was a little bit sceptical at first, but as they're playing more and more together, you can see they're certainly getting a great partnership down that left-hand side. And yeah, that goal was fantastic. I think it was Kone that won the ball back in midfield as well, I think, to start it all off. He won the ball back with a great challenge. I was actually quite shocked that the referee didn't blow up, to be honest, because it was a little bit kind of one of those in the last couple of games, Katie. You know, the referees we've had, they've been a bit dodgy, haven't they? So I was quite surprised this one didn't blow up on that one. But yeah, to put the ball out wide and then for the ball to come across, he did look a little bit like he was going to get the ball stuck under his feet. But yeah, tremendous finish. It made it a little bit hard for the keeper, didn't it? It kind of went under a couple of players, so the keeper kind of didn't really know what was going on, but still fantastic finish. And yeah, delighted for Kiembe, because you know, as I've said on some previous podcasts, I've not been his biggest supporter over the last maybe 12 months, but yeah, he's certainly playing his role in this midfield at the moment, and he deserved that yesterday.
Definitely. And I think it's going to get to when January comes and Watford fans, they're starting to take a real liking to Kiembe now. And Katie, we're not going to want him to leave for the African Cup of Nations, are we?
No, honestly, he's so key in this midfield. And I feel like you had said last season that he was going to be one of our best midfielders, I would have thought that you were absolutely taking the piss. And I just think, like, he has seriously stepped up. And every podcast, I just feel like we're always echoing his name, saying how good he's been. And the last few games, we just really see it. His composure in front of goal as well. You would never even think that he would be that composed in front of goal. I mean, his goal was good. Like, it was a good finish, you know. He did a couple turns and then he was able to get a good angle on it. And it's a great finish. So, yeah, I was really happy for him because he definitely deserved it.
I'm really starting to like him as well. It's his second goal in four games for Watford. He scored against Rotherham United in that 5-0 victory. And then he scored yesterday away at Hull. But, yeah, I just love what he brings to his team. I think Val's obviously found a spot for him in the team. And it's a bit further forward, isn't it? And we saw when we signed him, that's where he was playing for that Belgium side, wasn't it? It was further forward, more advanced. And you get the best out of him. We've seen it so far this season. He's getting the rewards. And that midfield three, Joe, they just seem to complement each other so well.
Yeah, they're doing really well at the moment. I mean, even yesterday, there was a couple of chances, I think, in the first half where Kone was getting forward as well. He had the chance just before the goal, didn't he, where Rajovic laid it off for him and he put it over. There was one that he tried to curl into the top corner that the keeper just kind of parried away as well. And even on Tuesday night, I mean, Kone obviously got his goal, hit the crossbar. So, you know, they're certainly putting in a shift at the moment, that midfield three. And, you know, it all comes from Livermore in his holding position, allowing those two to get further forward. They've kind of got a license to do what they want in that midfield, knowing that he's going to be there. And, yeah, as a midfield three, I wouldn't touch it at all unless absolutely necessary at the moment.
No, I wouldn't touch it either. And hi to John Parsler as well tonight watching. Happy Sunday night, everyone. 4 points from the next three games would be a solid next step. I'm loving the togetherness in this squad. It has 2012-13 vibes for him. And yeah, I think we're all enjoying this togetherness and spirit now. And I feel like we're on the journey and we're all enjoying that ride. So hopefully it continues to get better for Watford. But Watford, after that lead after 8 minutes, we didn't hang on to it for too long, Katie, did we? It was within 1-2 minutes and Scott Twine found a back of the net for the whole City. Who was it? It was Delap just ran through the midfield. And I was really impressed with Delap yesterday. He's a young, inexperienced player. He was on loan at Stoke last year. Didn't really do too much for Stoke. Didn't really have a great spell. But he's gone to Hull and he looks really good for them. Really strong, quick, powerful. And he just ran through that Watford midfield. And then it was Wesley Hoot who came out of nowhere with a great recovery challenge. And I thought, that's absolutely fantastic. And then it just fell in the feet for Scott Twine. I don't think it could have felt better for him. And he just put it in that bottom corner. But it was disappointing to concede so early on, because I imagine that away end was bouncing after Watford went 1-0 up.
Yeah, it was. And to be fair, we were all still kind of celebrating as that happened. Like, we were still happy and bouncing around when that happened. I think, like you said, it was disappointing that it was so easy for him to get through that midfield. He literally, like, beat every single player. And then, like you said, Hoop makes a great challenge, and then just unlucky that he happened to be there. And he's never gonna miss from there. And I did say afterwards, I was like, oh, I think Hamer could have done a bit better. He dives quite late, but after looking back, I actually think that it's quite a good finish, and I'm not really sure what more you could do. But it was disappointing, because I thought it wasn't like we switched off. I just think we made it very easy for them to get that goal, and it wasn't deserved, because I thought we'd been quite on top for the first 10 minutes, and obviously with the goal. But like we said, we never make it easy for ourselves.
No, Watford never make it easy for themselves. And Joey, it was, like Katie says, just disappointing to concede, wasn't it? Just so quickly after the game, and it was a great finish. But yeah, just disappointing.
Yeah, it was. It was, I mean, make no mistake, it was a good run. It was a bit, you know what we're like with challenges like that. We just don't ever put a foot in, do we? We let people run around us like that sometimes. And yeah, I mean, he did very well. Hoot came across brilliantly. And it was one of those that just sat up. We weren't quick enough to Hoot's challenge. And Twine had a great finish in the into the bottom corner. But yeah, I don't think Hamer could have done anything more with that. And yeah, just disappointing that it was so quick. Doesn't really happen very often with us these days, does it? Though those sort of quick fire equalizers, I don't recall too many of late. But yeah.
Yeah, I can't recall any either. Well, not this season anyway. But Katie, it was, I don't know how you felt being in the stadium, but I thought that first half in particular, it was just end to end, wasn't it? So high energy. It was just like, you have the ball, we have the ball, and it was just full on attack. And it was so great to see. And the one bit that I absolutely enjoyed was Ken Semmer just running through three or four players, bursting the gut, just dragging the players up the pitch, and then off the back of that, Kone had a shot on the edge of a box where he tried to curl it in the top corner, and I thought that was in for 1 second, but it was end to end, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought that went in as well. Like I said in the vlog, it was actually a really good game, and I feel like people were saying that, oh, the stats make it look like Hull were all over us, and it does, because it says they had 23 shots, we only had 10. But, like, it didn't feel like that watching it. Like, I didn't feel like we were trailing always. I actually thought that we were on top for most of it. I just feel like, especially, I mean, the first half after they scored, they did have a lot of momentum. But, like, we defended well. Like, we stood strong. In the second half, I definitely think that we were better. But it was end-to-end. Like, it was a lot of attacking. None of this slowing the game down in midfield. We had a lot of little, like, shots in the end of the first half, but no, it was, if you went as a neutral, yeah, it was end to end. Like, it was a good game. It was entertaining.
And just quickly before I go back to Joe, silly yellow card for Ryan Andrews in that first half, wasn't it? The player was back to goal. He was facing his own goal. Ryan Andrews just came running in to the back of him, and it was needless. He didn't need to do it.
To be fair, I don't really remember that, but I do remember him actually like going for the, and everyone was going, he got the ball, like, as to be funny, but I do remember now, and everyone was saying, like, yeah, he just didn't need to do it, like, it wasn't really necessary.
No, definitely, because he did really well against Philogen yesterday. He had him, he was marking him really well, and then I thought once he got booked, he couldn't get as close to him, and he couldn't make challenges, and then it played into his hands, and then Val obviously took him off in the second half because of that yellow card. But yeah, it's just, I think that's what obviously he needs to learn from Joe, isn't it? It's inexperience from Ryan Andrews, and that's going to come with experience of playing week in, week out, and he will learn about these silly challenges.
Yeah, he will. I mean, there's been a few times this season where he's done things like that, and like you say, it will come with experience. He's growing in this side as well. And again, you know, as I said in our group chat, I think the team at the moment with that goalkeeper, the back four, and the midfield three, I think those eight players are pretty much untouchable at the moment. And Ryan Andrews, yeah, when Ngakia is fit again, obviously we don't know when that'll be, a couple of months, it's going to be very hard for him to come back into this side, because I really like Andrews, and I think he's growing with confidence as each week's going on. And obviously the games are stacking up at the moment, so there's a lot of game for him to get involved in. And I think he's going to play a big part for us between now and the end of the season.
No, definitely. I'm liking that he's getting these game times and this opportunity, isn't it? So, Watford went in half-time 1-1 with Hull, which I think we all would have taken before the start of the game. Maybe we could have got a second goal in that first half, but it weren't meant to be, and it was 1-1 at half-time. So, yes, really strong performance. I was really impressed. I thought maybe Watford edged it in that first half. I think we had the better of the chances, and we kept Hull pretty at bay at times. I think just shots from distance, wasn't it? Philogene had a shot that went over, or Hamer saved as well, but it's all from outside the box. They weren't getting behind that our back four, so I thought we dealt with them really well, and that's what's showing in the XG this season as well. Like, Watford don't concede many chances, or when they do, it's from outside the box, so it's really good, and it's making our defence look even better than what it actually is. And then Katie, second half, what was the reaction yesterday when the referee pointed to a penalty spot? It was a challenge from Jake Livermore and Greaves. I've watched it so many times, and I feel hard done by just for how it was given, I felt like Greaves was looking for it. He saw that Livermore went in. He threw his leg in towards him, and if anything, I think he saw that and he thought, I'm going to go down here because it's in the penalty box. If that was outside the penalty box, he would have stayed on his feet. And I felt like he just bought the foul and bought the penalty. What was the reaction and your thoughts in the that away end? Because you that would have been directly in front of you.
Yeah, it literally happened, like, because I was quite low down. I literally saw it happen, and obviously I saw the back of him. So I saw the ball, I saw the challenge, and then he went down. And I was like, well, it was already delayed from when he's put his foot in anyway. And I was just thinking, you would expect Livermore to make that challenge anyway, because there was a lot of challenges that we made in that penalty box throughout the game where we were able to take the ball out of their feet, and that was all fine. But as soon as he goes down for it, I feel like from certain angles, it does look like he's clipped him. And when I've watched the highlights, yeah, he does clip him. I did, in the moment, feel quite like it was undeserved. And even my boyfriend, who is not a Watford fan, said that it was not a penalty. And if that had been a Leicester one, he would have been felt very angry if that was given. And the reaction the way end was very like, is it really a penalty? No, but I can see why it was given. But we did feel quite hard done by.
Yeah, no, I would be as well, especially travelling all that way. And you feel like it's a softish penalty, wasn't it? I felt like, yeah, I just thought he bought it. The referee saw him coming and he just, yeah, pointed to that spot. Joe, what was your thoughts on that penalty yesterday?
Yeah, it was a soft one for me, but, you know, as we see in most weeks in this league, there are penalties that should be penalties that don't get given, and there are soft ones that are really soft that shouldn't be given and they're given. So you go in with your foot in like that and a player goes over, you're going to expect something, whether it be a yellow card for simulation or a penalty. And yeah, the referee bought it, didn't he, yesterday, and he gave a penalty. So I personally wouldn't have given it myself. I felt Livermore was hard done by, but, you know, we got the right result in the end from the resulting penalty, didn't we? So,
yeah, when I was watching it on the stream, you could see Livermore was devastated with it as well. And he went up to Greaves as well and was like pointing and talking to him in the face, just saying, you know what you did there. He even grabbed his hair as well and like tugged it. It was really... Yeah, you could see that he was distraught from it as well, especially after the performances Jake Livermore's put in lately. He felt like he really cost his team there yesterday. But yeah. Katie, it was his teammate that got him out of trouble, and it was Ben Hamer, the deputy goalkeeper to Daniel Batman, or the new Watford's number one. He is at the moment. He came in, fantastic save down to his right, really strong hand behind it as well. But what a fantastic save!
Yeah, it was a really good save. And again, when I was watching, I was thinking that was an awful penalty. There was no power on that. But then when I watched the highlights, I was like, oh, he actually did try. Like, it's a great save. And I think the best thing about him was that when the penalty was given, he wasn't all up in the ref's face like, no, it's never a penalty. He took himself away. He took himself to the goal. He composed himself. He didn't get, like people have been saying in the comments, he didn't get emotional about it. He knew what his job was. And it paid off because he's done exactly what he needed to do. And I was literally thinking, I was like, that's never a penalty. He's going to save it because he's going to get us out of it because it wasn't supposed to be a penalty. So genuinely, like, if you can't drop this man. You can't. He's done so much in the space of like 3 games. He's literally done more than Backman's done in the whole season.
I agree. I think every Watford fan agree with that statement there. So, yeah, we all want to see him in goal when Watford face Southampton next Saturday. Joe, what I really liked about this, and you probably did as well, is as well as the penalty save, it was the reaction afterwards. Obviously, all the Watford fans, players, you could see that he was delighted for it. They went over to him, but he was like, come on, boys, concentrate. It's a corner. And he was pointing straight away to saying, do your jobs.
Yeah, he was. It was brilliant. You know, they all wanted to celebrate with him. It was a great moment, obviously, for him. But yeah, like Katie said, they all, you know, they still have a job to do. There's still time left in the game. Hull obviously from those situations, teams like to try and take quick corners sometimes. And obviously he was trying to be alert to that so that we didn't get caught out from the results in corner. I've got to say, my best bit, and I have watched this probably about, I'm going to say nearly a dozen times, is Ryan Portis' reaction.
Yeah.
He literally got up in his face and he was proper going for it, wasn't he? There was a lot of passion on his face when that was saved. So yeah, that was my best part of the penalty save.
Yeah, ran up to Phil Eugene, didn't he? Sprinted up to him, pointed into his face, and he said something, didn't he? And whilst he was laughing at the same point. And you just know that's coming from Porto, don't you? That's the type of player that he is.
It reminded me of the Van Nistelrooy miss when Keown and all that got in his face. He kind of proper got in his face and give it the old
it was class, and it was much needed as well. And after that, Katie, it was a double substitution for Watford, and Ince and Bio came off of Rajovic and Espria. What did you make of Rajovic's performance yesterday?
Well, I thought he actually did well. I thought he pressed really well on the goalkeeper, which was why I was kind of like, this is quite a Bayer game, because I was like, their goalkeeper was a mistake waiting to happen. He really played far out with the ball a lot. A lot of like the quick passing from the back. And Rajovic was, a lot of times, I think there was a chance maybe just before he went off, and he almost got it. Like, he literally was like one step away from winning the ball off him. So I thought he did well in that manner. He did well like hanging around the goal a lot. And I don't think when he doesn't, he has a game where he doesn't score, and those games where he literally does nothing. I know he didn't score, but I actually don't think he had a rubbish game. I think he did well, and there were chances where I thought, if he had just been a little bit quicker, he could have got that goal. So I think overall he played well.
I agree. I think that was another strong performance from Rajovic yesterday. Mm-hmm. Actually, I said about it on the podcast that we did during the week. I said he looks like he's slowly getting involved in the team's build-up play and bits and pieces. And that was the same for yesterday. I thought he was linking up with play. He was holding the ball up a little bit. He was laying it off for teammates. And I thought, I like this Rajovic. He's actually adding to his game. Okay, I don't think we added any deliveries into a box for him to get onto the end of, but he was there adding to the team's performance away from home, and I really did like that from Rajovic. And also the subs coming on, Katie, Ince and Bio, like when you see those two players coming on, you may be thinking, I'm not too sure that's right, but I thought Val got it spot on.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Espila had a really good game, I thought. He was so quick and like really attacking. I thought he really had a good game, but I think I was like happy to see Ince come on, because I was like, I feel like he might bring a bit more stability and a bit more calm and composure, because obviously we were getting into like the last bit of the game. So I was like, I was happy with those subs, and I think the same with Bayo. I was like, it's obvious that the keeper could mess up with the playing out, and you know what Bayo is like. You know, you've seen it when he had that Coventry thing at Coventry, when he was able to, you know, it's just like fresh legs, and it helped. Yeah. Because I thought, you know, Bayo could come on and be able to really, you know, chase the goalkeeper around. So I was happy with those subs. I thought they were at the right time and the right people as well.
Yeah, Ince really put in a shift yesterday, didn't he? I thought he helped double up on Philogene on that right-hand side with Andrews or Porteous. I know Porteous went over to right-back at one point as well. And I thought he did really well. And I thought his game management as well, down to that far corner with Bayo, where there was time wasting and trying to keep the ball up in the corner of Hull, was absolutely spot on and much needed as well to give that defence that added relief of trying to keep the ball up the other end. But Joe, it wasn't too long after that double substitution, I think we saw the goal of the season for Watford, and it was Wesley Hoot. And fantastic interception for Wesley Hoot, for starters. And then he just looks up, plays it over the goalkeeper's head, and Katie's going absolutely berserking at her way in.
Yeah, it was just something else, wasn't it? it kind of reminded me from when Chris Eagles scored a goal from that sort of distance away at Brighton back in, I'm going to say, 2006, showing my age. And I remember a lot of people, obviously, we didn't have social media then, so it was more talking among friends and stuff after. And a lot of people said they were jealous they weren't there to witness such a special goal and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, I got the old FOMO yesterday when I saw the goal and saw the, yeah, it was just superb, superb. He'd done really well to win the ball back, first of all, but just to have one look up and see the keeper kind of off his line slightly, I don't know what's better, the strike or the keeper turning around and having a go at the defence. I don't really know what the defence can do there. I mean, it was sloppy to give the ball away, yes, and so cheaply, but like, you can't do anything about a strike like that. And Rossini, even he was, I think he referred to it on ITV as, he said, "Hoops hit it from 100 yards." So yeah, it was some strike and fully deserved for him. I mean, he's just been something else over the last few games for me. He's just been brilliant.
Yeah, a proper captain's performance from Wesley Hoot yesterday as well. I thought it was superb from start to finish, but what a quality goal as well. But you're spot on there. What I loved about that goal so much was the keeper's reaction to when it went in. It was bollocking his defenders like it was the defender's fault. He didn't even throw his arm up into the air to try and stop it from going in. He just like gave a little hop, thinking that it was going to clear his crossbar. But little did he know, but Hoot found that tiniest little spot under that crossbar. And yeah, Watford were 2-1 up. But Katie, what was it like in that away end when that went in and when you saw Wesley Hoot was charging towards you?
So obviously when he kicked the ball, I had my head in my hands. I was like, why has he done that? He's just given the ball, like he just kicked the ball for no reason. I thought it was just a miss kick. And it was only when, because obviously it hit the net and I thought, oh, it's just hit the other side, like the outside or the back. And then he starts running over and then you see the ref point. And I was like, has he just scored? Everyone goes crazy. And I'm actually in that picture where he's the one that we're using. But the guy in front of me was still on his chair. So you can only see like the side of my face. And I'm like right in that corner. So I was like so annoyed because I was like, such a good picture. I could literally be in it, but someone's blocking it. But no, it was honestly such, like, I have never experienced limbs like that. And I haven't seen Watford win away since we beat Aston Villa 1-0 like 2 years ago or whatever. So genuinely that, and it was, what a goal as well. Like, it was great to go ahead and to win. But the goal, honestly, goal of the season, goal of the year, goal of the century, I don't know. Literally, this man is just, he's just incredible. Everything he does, like the performance plus the goal, like, he's just amazing. He's just incredible.
Yeah, I think we've all got a man crush on him as it is. He's such a handsome guy, ain't he? But to deliver the goods on the football pitch as well, he's been so good lately. And I think, solid, let's just talk about him a little bit more now, because Joe, he's up there for player of the season at the moment. He has been so cool and calm at the bat. He's been a rock. He's showing proper captain's performances now, showing Daniel Batman how to do it. And to chip in with, that's his second goal of the season now as well. He's definitely up there for player of the season running, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you were to stop the season now and say, vote for who you want, I'd be voting Wesley Hoot all day long. But it's not just, I mean, it's just, there's been so many occasions. I think there was like two or three yesterday where he's put challenges in to stop the ball going in, like they're shot blocking challenges that he's putting in. They're not just trying to win the ball back. Apart from those, you know, his composure on the ball when he's looking to pass, he looks up. He doesn't just punt the ball, because, you know, when we had Cathcart in the team, Cathcart a lot of the time would get the ball and he'd just kick the ball and he'd be like, where are you putting that? But who actually looks? He looks to pass to someone in a positive way as opposed to going sideways. He's always trying to get forward from that left-hand side, isn't he? And he plays a big role in for me in that Lewis and Senna partnership as well, because, you know, he gives Lewis a little bit of a license to get a little bit further forward, because I think he's so commanding in that position. He does drift over sometimes if, like, Lewis is a bit further forward. I actually kind of don't worry if someone's going to come forward a little bit at you, because I know Hoot's going to be there, and Hoot will do his best to try and stop attacks as well. So, yeah, for me at the moment, I think Livermore is a close second. I think Livermore, yeah. Make no mistake about the shifts he's putting in as well. But, yeah, based on what Hoot's doing at the moment, 100% I would be changing the captaincy over to Wesley Hoot.
This is it. And people already, Katie, have been talking about wanting to give the armband, well, obviously strip the armband of Daniel Batman. And then there was loads of talks a couple of weeks ago saying, give it to Jake Livermore. But we've seen his performances, and I don't think Jake Livermore needs the captain armbands to make his performances any better. I think that's just what you get with Jake Livermore, and he is a captain with or without the armband. But Wesley Hoot, I think he deserves that captain's armbands, and he I think he would respect it with Watford as well.
Yeah, I was going to literally say what you said. I just think Livermore doesn't need the captain's armband to act like a captain. It is just what you get with him. And it's so good to have these leaders in and around the squad that don't need to be rewarded with praise or, you know, like the armband. You know, in all of Val's interviews where he's spoken about him, he just says Jake Livermore does what he does. That's what he is. That's what he's like. And it's so good to know that he doesn't have to feel like he knows that it doesn't go unnoticed, but that's just what he does all the time. And I feel like with Hoot as well, he's really stepped up, because I definitely remember people like not hyping him up last year, saying that he wasn't the best, inconsistent. And again, he's really stepped up. It's like he's a different player now. And again, with the armband, he's not. But at the beginning of the season, he was not someone who I would have thought would be. I remember when they announced who was, like, when they said Batman was going to be the captain, they released, like, the names of the people who were going to be, like, and he was on there. And I remember thinking, really? I would not have expected that. But he's really, really stepped up to that. And you see it in the games as well. You see the thing that Batman couldn't do was that when you have an infield player as a captain, they're always at the ref, they're supporting their teammates where they can, and Batman just couldn't really do that because, you know, he's a goalie. But Hoot does that really well, I think, and he's always looking out for other people in the team. He's not selfish. Like you said, he supports every single player, even Rajovic. Like, he's literally helps him in situations, and I feel like it's such a good trait for him to have.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like he's a Rolls-Royce defender at the back, isn't he? He's very stylish in his play. And I just think he adds to our defence massively. And when we signed him last season, it was between January and the end of the season, both him and Porteous came through at the same time. And loads of people were saying that Porteous was a better defender. But I always said from day one that Hoot was the stronger defender. And the one that stuck out for me was Burnley away, when he was hustling with Ashley Barnes. He really stood out in that game, and I thought, oh, we've got a hell of a player here. The way he handled him, it was in Barnes's head as well. Like, mentally, he messed with his bad guy's head. Yeah, I don't think he's fully recovered since, has he?
Yeah.
And I just think he's such a character to have behind the scenes as well. And I know when we signed him as well, people saying about how he was a bad egg, his bad attitude because of his time at Anderlecht. We've not seen anything like that at all. And if anything, I think Watford fans may have been like a bit wary of him when he came into the team. But my God, I'm so thankful we've got Wesley Hoot in our defence, because he has improved it massively. And I think we're seeing glimpses of why Southampton paid £15 million for him when he was in the Premier League. And I know we've got Southampton next weekend, and we'll do a preview with Southampton. And it'll be interesting to get their thoughts on Wesley Hoot, because that will be completely different to how Watford fans feel about him. Just quickly, before we go into talking about the final result for Watford, who's got the better goal, Wesley Hoot away at Hull City or Ismail Assar away at West Brom? Joe?
I'm going to say Wesley Hoot. Controversial.
No. Katie?
I'm going to say Hoot as well.
Just because we love him more. I mean, that's the thing. It's nothing against Sarr's strike. It was amazing. But just at the moment, just for what Hoot's doing for this team, how we're all feeling about him is Wesley Hoot. But just quickly before we move over, you know, we're obviously talking about performances from Hoot, Kembe, people like that. It's really noticeable that they are better than they were last year. And it's because of stability. It's because there's a manager that's been there long enough to implement what he wants to bring to the team. And the players are vibing off that. And you can see that with a manager that's been in for a long period of time and us not changing managers, that it's bringing out the best of these players. And I think had we had someone like that last season, we may have seen that. But because we change managers so frequently, we weren't seeing that last season. And it was obviously probably frustrating for them. But now they've got a manager that cares, that's obviously bringing discipline, that's bringing togetherness. You know, all the fans are connected to the team again. It's all just like it was mentioned by John Pazzo, the 2012-13 vibes. 100%, you know, the celebrations at the end, showed in the chat yesterday, didn't I? Livermore all over Hamer, Kembe all over, Rajovic all over the back of Kembe for the goal, you know, just happy faces. Just reminds me of seeing like Pudil on the back of Forestieri or Vidra and things like that. You know, just it's a real happy vibe at the moment. And it's really like exciting watching Watford at the moment, isn't it? Let's be honest.
100%. And like you say, it's down to stability at the club. Alan Lefwell said it earlier. He said the team is benefiting from stability at the club right now. And I'm just going to bring up the next slide. Watford have collected 18 points in the last 9 matches. And I think this was straight after we gave Val a new contract. So the players know, okay, we're putting all our eggs in one basket with Val. We're trusting him. We like what he's done. And now we're seeing the rewards for it. I'm not saying we're going to get promoted this season. But what I'm seeing is a change of culture. I'm seeing a team that's benefiting from having stability. And we're seeing the rewards for it now. But like we went 295 days without getting an away win. We picked up 2 away wins now in about 5 weeks. Like it's so much more enjoyable for away fans to go to, like Katie, trekking up and down the country. Her train's got cancelled on the way back, and her boyfriend's dad had to come pick her up. But she wouldn't swap that still from seeing Watford win away. Like they're so hard to come by. To pick up, and it is all down to stability, isn't it, Katie?
Yeah, there. Even now, there hasn't been a period. Obviously, I want to watch Watford, even if we're losing. Of course, I'm going to watch Watford, even if we're the worst we've ever been. I'm still going to watch. But I actually want to go to games now. I'm looking forward to going to games because I'm looking forward to how we're going to play. I enjoy the football that we play. It's attacking. It's exciting. It's new. It's different. It's not this Watford that we've known for the last couple of seasons where, you know, we scrape those lucky 1-0 or, you know, 2-1 wins. Like, we're actually playing well. And I was even saying to my dad earlier, I was like, I'm tempted to even come home for the Southampton and the Ipswich game because I actually want to watch, and I'm excited by what I see. And, you know, like we've said, the players are so likeable. Everyone at the club right now is so likeable. There's genuinely no one who I think, yeah, you're ruining this for everyone. You're a bad egg. Like, every single person in that team genuinely tries and cares about the club. And, you know, it's obvious. The results and the points we've picked up have reflected that.
Yeah, and I really like the comment that you've just said as well about how the players are likeable. Joe, I actually think the players like each other as well. And that's a massive thing as well, because we've looked at this team lately. the last couple of seasons, and you can tell there's maybe a bit of friction between certain players in between the squad and that, and they don't seem on the same page. But these players seem to be rolling up their sleeves together. They know what they have to do, and it's so refreshing to see.
Yeah, 100%. You can tell that, like you say, everyone's playing for one another. Everyone loves one another. There's no bad blood within the team. You don't hear of anything, you know, like when we were hearing things on Twitter about things that went on in training or people that were just like falling out with so-and-so, this happened, an argument happened here. And, you know, it's just none of that. It's just, you just hear of hard work, the rewards of being, we're getting the reward from the performances now. And hopefully from this now, like, you know, you said, Katie, Southampton, Ipswich coming up now, two big home games against teams that are above us. And, you know, it was kind of touched on the, with the interview yesterday about with Val. They asked him about when we were going to get that Premier League reward again and be in the mix for promotion. And Val kind of played it down yesterday a little bit. He kind of didn't jump in and say, you know, we want it. He just said, you know, take each game by game. But if, you know, if we can get 4 points out of these next two games, we've got the fourth best home record in the Championship. So it's going to be hard for these two teams coming. I mean, people will look at it and go, Southampton are above us, Ipswich are above us. But I don't think it's going to be as easy as what people think. And I do think that midfield, he's going to play a big part, and I do think it's going to be a big two games. And I genuinely believe that at the very least we'll come out with 4 points out of it.
Yeah, and a quote I really liked from Val yesterday as well in his news conference was, we're ready tactically, we're ready physically, we're ready technically, but most important thing is we're ready mentally. And that's what we've seen this season, isn't it, Katie? It's the mindset of the players. And we've actually seen that in the last two games. The mentality of this squad is so strong.
It actually like makes me quite emotional thinking about how far this squad has come from. Genuinely, I actually do, because there was a point a few seasons ago when it was like really low, and I literally I remember like crying after games, thinking this squad is so bad. Like, I do not want to watch games. I do not like this team. I do not like any of the players, and the fact that we're now the opposite of that. Like, we're so, like Val has said, mentally strong, physically strong. Like, they are doing so well. I didn't even think we would have picked up points against Norwich and Hull. Like, I thought going into this period we were getting 0 points. Like, yes, okay, we lost to Leicester, whatever, fine. But these two games, we've picked up 6 points. Like, I would not have thought that. And going into Southampton and Ipswich, yeah, they are really, really tough. But I don't feel as nervous. I don't feel like we're going to go in and get nothing. I think we will definitely, and even if we don't win, because I don't think we can sit here and say, yeah, we're going to beat them both. I mean, it would be great to, and we should go in with that mindset of trying to, because I think, like, you know, Southampton, maybe we could get a win, Ipswich, maybe a draw, I don't know. But I just think, I know that the players will be going in with the winning mindset. I know that they will go in to those games wanting to win. I know they're going to try their best, regardless of the outcome. I know that it's going to be an interesting game. I know that they're going to try, and that's all we can ask of them.
No, definitely. That's all we want from our team, isn't it? And I'm not expecting it to be rosy for the rest of the season. There is going to be bumps in the road, isn't there, Joe? But we're fully on board with the rebuild that we've seen at this club. And but they shipped out so many players in the summer, and it was much needed. There was loads of bad eggs and attitudes that we need to get rid of, and stale players. And we've done that all in one window. But now, with January approaching, it's about adding players into certain areas. And I don't think it needs a massive overhaul again. I think it just needs one or two quality upgraded players onto what we've got already.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I said in our chat this morning, I think it was, or last night, that if we can get a solid striker that someone from somewhere that we know is going to bang in a few goals more than what we're getting up top at the moment. Listen, I'm not saying for 1 minute, you know, Rajovic has obviously scored 7 goals for us. he is putting in a shift and he is trying. But you know, like how, I don't know, how Cameron Archer went to Middlesbrough in January last year, didn't he? And he managed to bang in, I can't remember, like 10 or 12 goals between then and the end of the season. If we can get someone there, I did, after the links with United and Palestri, if we can get someone like that, that's just got that bit of quality that's like really good, that can take us up a gear. And again, I'm not for 1 minute saying that Ken Semmer doesn't deserve to be on that left-hand side. But if someone like Palestri could come in with the team that we've got and we've got a better striker, I do believe that, like you say, with one or two additions, it doesn't need to be a massive overhaul in this window. Yeah. And I hope that we don't try and look to get like four or five players in to try and add to the squad. Get those two players in those positions. I do believe we're gonna be a strong contender now for the playoffs. It's not that, you know, when we were at the beginning of this season, we all sat on this podcast and we all said that we were kind of a little bit sceptical about some of the players that came in and worried about where we were going to finish and how it was going to end. But now, with what we're seeing, with what Val's implementing and the players that we've got, I do believe with that togetherness and with the fans on board and everything clicking, that it's just going to be that we're all in it and we're just going to hope and we'll get there because we've got that character and we've got that stability now. I don't think it's going to be because we've got the best team in the league. It's going to be based on that togetherness and the fact that the fans are going to carry them through games where, you know, for example, like next weekend, well, even like Norwich the other night, the fans fully got on board. Once we were 2-2, back to 2-2, those fans got on board, didn't they? And they kind of carried the players over the kind of final 20 minutes on Tuesday. So we're going to have a lot of games like that, but I'm here for it. And I can't wait for the rest of the season.
I know, it's given us that buzz. We've all got excited, haven't we? It's grabbed us and we're fully invested now. What I do want to see, though, from the fans is I want to see more songs for these players as well. And I know we had one yesterday, didn't we? Super Ben Hamer in goal, which I absolutely loved. But we need to see more of it. I think WD18 alluded to it yesterday. I think Val needs a song. I think we need to show him our support as well. And if we can give more songs to players that are performing week in, week out, that's only going to help build that relationship and that bond. So I hope we can get our thinking caps on and we can come up with a few songs. But we've just talked about the January transfer window. Something else that's going to happen in January is the FA Cup third round. And it was drawn today at 1 o'clock. And Watford were drawn against Chesterfield or Leighton Orient. Chesterfield played Leighton Orient at 2 o'clock. And Chesterfield came out on 1-0 winners over League One side Leighton Orient. So there will be a third round tie at Vicarage Road. It will be Watford's only game at home in January because obviously we had to swap our opening league game with QPR. So we're away to QPR now. So if you want to get down to Vicarage Road to see some action in January, it will only be in the FA Cup. But Chesterfield, they're going strong in the National League. They're 8 points clear at the top of the table with two games in hand. So they are dominating that league as well. So it's, I know we're saying we're playing non-league Chesterfield, but don't underestimate them, especially when they're going to bring down all their fans. They'll probably sell out that away end. They're going to be in full voice and they're winning week in, week out. So they're going to want to carry on that momentum. Katie, what was your thoughts on the FA Cup tie? Was you kind of hoping for a home game or did you want an away game?
To be fair, I like the home games and I'm going to be back at home for Christmas, so I'll be able to go to it. But I wouldn't have minded an away game either. I feel like it's going to be tough regardless. People always think that these draws are like easy draws, but actually sometimes they're even harder than the Prem ones that you get because they'll be up for it. They'll have, like you said, all their fans there. It's going to be tough for us. And I'm sure we'll probably play a second team, maybe see some youth as well. And part of me was like, oh, I really want to do an FA Cup run this season. But if we're also now how I see how we're performing in the league and like that is kind of something that I want it to be our main focus. I don't want us to drop off from doing so well in the league because we're focused on the FA Cup. So I'm not that fussed about it. Obviously, it's nice to have a home game in January, but it will be good regardless. And I think it will be an interesting game.
Yeah, I think it's a great tie to have for Watford if you want to go further in a competition, but just don't underestimate Chesterfield. I think that's the main key, isn't it? Don't underestimate them. Go there with a game plan, and you have to work to it and stick to it and get the win. But I think it's a good opportunity for Watford to progress into the fourth round. Joe, what did you think of the draw?
It's an intriguing one, you know, because Chesterfield, I watched them in their first round tie against Portsmouth. They were really good that day. Obviously, that was Portsmouth's first defeat in 90 minutes since February at that point. So, you know, did really well that day. Obviously, another team that's Orient are in League One, aren't they? So it's another League One team that they've knocked out. So it's a really intriguing tie. Obviously, it's going to be a free hit for them. They've only lost, I think, once in about 15 or 16 games, I think it is, in the National League. And that was a 2-1 away defeat recently. I think it was Southend they lost to. So, they're going great guns. I kind of expect, like Katie said, I expect it to be a bit of a mixture. It'd be nice to see a couple of people like a couple of the youngsters coming. I'm just trying to think. Greaves, it'd be nice to see him maybe come into midfield, get a bit of a chance. Can't really think of too many others at the moment. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be the usual. There'll be a bit of a mixture of first-teamers and people that are on the fringes of the first team that will come in. And hopefully whoever does come in puts in a shift and it's enough to see us through. But I do think we'll progress. But by no means, I don't think it's going to be easy at all. Especially, like you say, if they sell out that away and they're going to be in full voice, it'll be hard.
Yeah, because there won't be any atmosphere in the Watford then, will it? We know what it's like, FA Cup round, third round. Vicarage Road's pretty much empty. I think, yeah, all the noise is going to be coming from a Chesterfield end. And if anyone here is watching and knows the Chesterfield podcast, please hit send us their link so we can get in touch with them for a preview of the opposition view. Because, we haven't really touched base in the National League before. So maybe we could ask Luton. I know they was down there a couple of years ago, weren't they? So,
Just one thing to mention. I've heard that a lot of fans, obviously, with that being the only home game in January, there might be GT Day because obviously we usually have that in January, don't we? So what I'm hoping for is that the club maybe put out really cheap ticket prices, maybe do a deal for adult and kids and stuff to try and get as many people in there as possible, because obviously it's an important day for the club and the history of the club. So I'm hoping, if they can announce some cheap tickets, that a lot of fans will turn up and it'll still be as memorable as some of the other days that we've done for him.
No, that's a great shout, mate. Hopefully they do, and that they're listening to this. But yeah, even something like, could you rather fill the Vic by giving out cheap tickets, because the people that are coming through, they're going to be buying food and drink whilst they're inside the stadium. So that's where they're going to be able to make the money back. So even if they did, like back in our day, weren't it? It was kids for a quid, wasn't it? Bring that back again and like maybe £5 adult tickets, fill that Vicarage Road out. I think it's just a great way of getting people behind the team. You might even attract new supporters as well with those prices as well. So yeah, why not?
Well, look at Blackburn.
They're normally cheap anyway.
Look at Blackburn. Sorry, Katie, to cut in. Look what Blackburn have done for their game, the game with us just before Christmas. £11 for an adult ticket. You know, they're trying to get as much of the community, obviously, with it being close to Christmas. They're trying to do a good thing to try and pack out the ground. So, yeah, fair play to them. And they've not only done it for home fans, they've done it for away fans as well. So, yeah, I mean, hope it'd be good just for clubs to do more stuff like this, because, you know, it is hard in the Championship, isn't it? You know, it is ticket, because there's no price cap, people kind of have a license to do what they want with prices. But hopefully with stuff like, I mean, Hull was £20 for an adult yesterday, I believe, Katie was. I know you don't pay that, but I think it was 20 quid. I think Preston's 20 quid in a couple of weeks. Blackburn is cheap. You know, let's just start trying to pack these grounds out rather than seeing half empty grounds and very little atmospheres on cold Saturday afternoons.
Yeah, no, I echo everything you say there, and I think it's the right way to do it, isn't it? It's the third round FA Cup. We all love the FA Cup, so traditional, and I want to see more bums on seats for these games, because you do get to see half-empty stadiums now. So if Watford can do their bit, do lower prices, especially cost of living as well. There might be families out there who would love to take their children to go watch Watford, but can't actually afford to do it. So I hope they can do something, because it'll be great to see, and hopefully get new supporters on board as well, because at the end of the day, we're the fans who are going to be there for the rest of our lives. Owners come and go, but supporters are going to be there from birth to death, aren't they? So, and if we can recruit new supporters as well, I think it's going to be great to continue that legacy. But that was our thoughts on the FA Cup third round tie with Chesterfield Town and Chesterfield anyway. But we will probably be back midweek for a preview for the Southampton game. I do need to double check with Mike. But like I said earlier, he is stateside at the moment in New York. So I don't actually know if he's organised anything for Southampton. If he hasn't, I will sort something out and we'll be back during the week for a preview. But thank you everyone for watching tonight. Really do appreciate it. We have good numbers watching. So if you've liked the video, hit that like button and also hit that subscribe button as well. We've picked up a few more subscribers in the last couple of days as well, and it's has been helped by Katie's putting out that match day vlog as well. We've had a few more after that, so hopefully more of those going forward, Katie. But yeah, thank you everyone, and we will be back soon. We're actually recording our Christmas special next Sunday as well. It's going to be put out just before Christmas, but we're all really looking forward to it. And as you can see behind my shoulder, I've got my Christmas tree up in preparation for it already, and my new Watford Christmas jump has arrived as well, which I'm absolutely buzzing about. It's a complete belter. But yeah, thank you for watching tonight, everyone, and we'll be back soon. So come on, you Orns.
Sports Social Podcast Network.